Good morning, friends. Welcome to this service of worship at Asbury United Methodist Church. We are so glad you decided to be part of our worshiping community this morning, and we pray that God will bless you richly because you've joined us. Let me say just one exciting announcement as we begin worship, and that is that next Sunday morning, September the 27th, we will begin re-entry into our blessed building here at 1700 Napa Valley Drive in Little Rock, Arkansas. We will have limited seating due to COVID, but if you're interested in being part of that congregation, please watch for announcements and the ability to register or reserve your spot for next Sunday service. In case you're still isolating because of COVID or not quite ready to get out, or maybe you arrive at the registration just a little late, we will be live streaming that service as well. So we'll be right here where we've been the last several months with you on Sunday morning, gathered virtually and then some in person. We're hoping that this is just the beginning of us being back together so that we can go out and serve God in the world. As we begin worship today, let us pray. Loving God, for the privilege of worshiping you this day, we give you thanks. We ask that you would bless our time together. Open our hearts and minds to the power of your Holy Spirit that is at work, mysteriously able to cross all boundaries of space and time. Transform us by our time together. And Lord, may our worship be a pleasing offering in your sight. For this we pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. And my story isn't over, my story's just begun. Failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. No, failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. Ooh. Take your shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house, yeah. Arrival's not the end game, the journey's where you are. You never wanted perfect, you just wanted my heart. And the story isn't over if the story isn't good. And failure's never final when my Father's in the room. No, failure's never final when the Father's in the room. Oh, lay your burdens down. Oh, here in the Father's house. Check your shame at the door, it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, yeah, you're in the Father's house. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Prodigals come home, the helpless find hope. Love is on the move when the Father's in the room. Prison doors fling wide, the dead come to life. Love is on the move when the Father's in the room. Miracles take place, the cynical find faith. And love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. The Jericho walls are quaking, strongholds now are shaking. Love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. Yeah, love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. Oh, lay your burdens down. Oh, yeah, you're in the Father's house. Check your shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Oh, you're in the Father's house. Check your shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Oh, you're in the Father's house.
Friends, won't you join me in a time of prayer? Gracious and loving God, we gather today in your presence as your beloved children. We find ourselves in this space, in this time, together. And though all of us come from different places, from different spaces, from different backgrounds, from different worldviews, different perspectives, different understandings of what we see going on around us, we find ourselves here together in this moment to give praise and glory to you. We also come to you this morning, God, in all different shapes, all different conditions. We find ourselves all broken and hurting in some way. And so we seek today that changing and transformative love that can only come from you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, we ask this morning that through everything going on around us, through all of the noise, through all of the hurt, through all of the anger, through all of the sadness, through all of the pain, that we continue to see your glory, that we continue to see your work in the world, and that we also continue to see how we may fit into that, lean into that, and as Christians, work into that. So continue to guide us, God. Continue to open our eyes so that we may see your will being done and that we may come to understand the call that you have placed on all of us to be disciples in this kingdom building process. God, this morning, we pray for our nation. This morning we pray for leaders around the world that you may continue to work on their hearts so that they may lead in a way that is worthy of you, God. We pray for our nation and the division and the disunity and the hurt and the anger that seems to separate us so deeply right now. We know, God, the only way that we can be unified is through you. So let us look to you, to your Son, Jesus Christ, as our source of healing, as our source of togetherness, as our source of understanding. God, this morning we pray for our Christian brothers and sisters around the globe who move in dark and dangerous spaces with one mission, and that is to spread the gospel of hope that is found in Jesus Christ in the spaces and places that need it the most. God, we ask that you place a hedge of protection around them, so that they may do the kingdom building work that is so desperately needed. God, we ask this morning that we see, that we are not blind to the ease that we have as Christians today in this nation. Let us not become lazy to that. but instead let us be like a fire, like the Holy Spirit moving in us and through us to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to our neighbors. May we do that through our words, and may we do that by revealing to others the image of Christ that exists in all of us. God, this morning we pray for our brothers and sisters that are in need of your healing touch. We pray for Clifford Smith. We pray for Carol Ratliff. We pray for Jean Beth Hill. We pray for June Glazier. We pray for Jesselyn Sinkhorn. We pray for Skip Smith, and God, we pray for all of our brothers and sisters who are in need of your love, who are in need of your healing, who are in need of your mercy. May you be with them, God. May you walk with them. May they feel your presence. And God, we pray for our church right here at Asbury. We pray that as we move forward into our future, our new future as a body of Christ, that we answer your call, God, that we answer your call to be disciple makers in this community, in our corner of the world. May we be willing to roll with the changes that come within that, but may we also hold true to what makes this community so faithful and loving. Lead us forward, God, in your love, in your mercy, and in your truth. Lead us to be the image of Christ in this community. Lead us to reflect him in all that we do, in the way we speak, in the way we work, and in the way we pray. May we pray the way he taught us to pray, by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. This is Paul writing to his friends in Colossae. I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea, and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to understand and have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you. And I rejoice that you are living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, for you are our strength and you are our Redeemer. Amen. Our goddaughter recently revealed to us that she and her husband are expecting their first child in March. We are all crazy happy. She and her husband will be wonderful parents, and their baby will be, well, like every baby, practically perfect in every way. The strange thing is that their announcement has caused me to begin to look at my goddaughter in new ways. I was present at her birth. I changed her diapers. I cried with her mama when she went to school that first day so long ago. Michael and I officiated at her wedding, and we've had the privilege of dog sitting their little dog. I thought I knew her. But now I see her with fresh eyes. She's pregnant, bearing a new life within, and I anticipate her moods. I watch for signs of discomfort, and more than anything else, I'm looking for that first inkling of a baby bump. Suddenly, she's not just our goddaughter anymore. She's becoming someone's mother. She is, for me, a living, breathing sign of hope. She's bearing in herself the future and a promise of unspeakable joy. Today, we're talking about why do people need the church? Why do people need the church? Well, I think, in short, it's because the world needs a sign of hope, a living, breathing symbol of the future, and an example of unspeakable joy that lifts them up beyond the worries and the struggles and the losses of daily life. In other words, people need the church because the church is God's choice for bringing the kingdom to earth. Every time we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we are praying to understand the church's reason for being. So hear that again. The church is God's choice, God's plan for making the kingdom known and visible and as real on earth as it is in heaven. And if that doesn't make you sit back and gulp for air, I don't know what will. Suddenly, the stake in being a member of the church just got a whole lot bigger. Now, I'm not talking about Asbury so much today. We'll do that next week when we gather together. That's the time that we'll talk about why people need this church and what we particularly can do for the kingdom. But this week we're talking about the church universal, the church with a little c, the church that we say we believe in every time we recite the Apostles' Creed and say, "I believe in the Holy Catholic Church." This is that messy family of God who infight about particular beliefs, who worship in different ways, who has a wildly diverse set of customs and vestments and traditions. The church that exists in every place has roots in every time. We carry within us the kingdom and are meant to be co-workers with God in helping the kingdom come on earth as in heaven. Why do people need the church? Well, if you haven't already, I'd love for you to begin typing in the comment section a reason that you think people need the church. And remember, as you do that, you are talking about yourself, about me, about Nick, about the bishop, about the conference. Why do people need the church? It's absolutely vital that we have an answer for this question, because we invite people into a relationship with God, and they cannot grow or deepen that relationship, and their lives will not bear fruit without a relationship to the church. You see, Christianity is a team sport. It's not meant for the individual. Whenever we are called into a relationship with Christ, we are called into a relationship with others. It was no accident that Jesus reminded us that the greatest commandment is to love God and love others. Time and again, he repeated to the disciples, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." The church is that gathering of believers, that community of faith. The lot of us that stumble sometimes forward, sometimes run forward, sometimes wander, but always seek to be faithful to the call which God has placed in our hearts. Through the power of Christ, the church are those who understand that we have been redeemed and are co-workers with God to bring that complete redemption to fruition on earth. In this letter to the people at Colossae, Paul was writing to an infant church, a church that was struggling because it was small, and they sometimes felt overwhelmed that their witness, in opposition to everything going on around them, caused them daily struggle, caused them persecution, caused them to have to leave home and family even, to gather together and be part of the church. And this is what Paul says about why people need the church. First of all, the church can proclaim unity as we live together in love. That's an important message to hear. It's an important question that is often asked of us as Christians. Why are there so many churches if there is only one God? Well, friends, unity is not uniformity. Unity does not require that we all look the same or act the same or even in small ways believe the same. Unity is first and foremost a work of the Holy Spirit in love. Love for Christ and love for one another. And on that, the church does work together across denominational lines, across boundaries and borders, across local arguments and strife. Pray for one another. Love one another. Seek to proclaim Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the source of our redemption, the hope of the world. That's the unified message of the church. The church also displays a confidence in God's plan. Yes, God has a plan for the world. It's been there from the very beginning of creation when God called forth all that is and set it in motion in intricate relationship to each other and to God, God's self. This plan is that there would be no need for separation between heaven and earth. This plan is that all would be one, that the Creator and Sovereign Lord would reign on earth as in heaven. N.T. Wright, the famous theologian, says that sometimes in Christianity we get things a little turned around. We're very good about proclaiming Jesus and forgiveness of sins and the hope of heaven to the point that some people think the only thing is about believing and having faith is getting that ticket, that place reserved for us up there or out there or wherever it is that heaven exists. N.T. Wright says that's good as far as it goes, but that's not enough. For you see, God's plan is that earth and heaven would be one. And the greatest work of the church does not end with convincing an individual to follow God and reserve that place in heaven. No, the greatest work of a Christian is with other Christians within the body of the church, proclaiming and working for that day when earth and heaven are one, when the sea is no more, when there are no tears or grief or pain or sorrow, and the tree of life is at the center of the world, providing nourishment for all the nations. You see, the church is here to help us grow in truth, to keep our eyes focused on the truth and of God's love, to know and to preach and to teach and to live as if God is sovereign in our lives, the one we can and do trust in, the one we never question having our back, the one we know has purpose. We seek, we live, we proclaim as the church that there is a truth with a capital T, and it is God. And if we as the church continue to live with unity and love and confidence and proclaiming God's plan and helping people grow in that truth, then we help bring about gratitude and thanksgiving. Not just on a Sunday morning when we're in worship, not just on our back porches or in our favorite chair or our prayer closets as we pray and study the scripture on our own. Oh no, we bring about thanksgiving and gratitude in the world around us. And gratitude and thanksgiving always refocuses our attention away from what we do not have onto what we have and is possible in the fullness of God's good plan. Why do people need the church? Well, we need unity in the world. Now more than ever, we need confidence. Look around you. We need to grow in truth. And what a joy it would be to hear words of gratitude and thanksgiving expressed on a daily, hourly, minute-by-minute basis. Why do people need the church? Well, friends, the church walks around pregnant with possibility. The church holds within itself the beginnings of the new kingdom. I don't know how far along this period of waiting will be. It sure seems like it might be drawing closer and closer. But when we think about the kingdom, it is the church that bears that hope into the world. And what a glorious birth that will be. When heaven meets earth and they kiss with all the tenderness and love and joy. Of a mother and her newborn babe. As Paul said, I want them, the world, to understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ Himself. People need the church because we, the church, know the plan. In the name of Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Friends, please join me in reciting the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, oh sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, oh sinner, come home. Come home, come home.
Well, friends, what a joy and a blessing it has been to be with you in worship today. Over the last 6 months, it has been exciting putting together these worship services, learning how to work with all the different cameras and all the different audio and graphic features. And we're going to continue doing that. But in the process, we are also going to return to in-person worship 1 week from today, just like Pastor Didi said, right here in our beautiful Wilson Activity Center. So for those of you that are ready to come back and experience live church in person, that opportunity will be there. Look for email communications to reserve your seat, and then we'll look forward to seeing you next Sunday. If you're not quite ready to come back, that's fine too. We'll be live streaming our worship service, so you will be able to join us and see everything that goes on. As we leave our worship experience this morning, I want to invite you back at 11 a.m. here on Facebook Live. We are going to continue our virtual Bible study called Have You Read It? We're looking at some of the smaller books of the Bible and understanding God's work in them. This week, we're going to look at the book of Nahum, which is a great book for all of us. Not so great if you're part of the Assyrian Empire, but it's going to be a fun study together. So please come back and join us. As we leave this time of worship this morning, my friends, may you serve your God with patience and with passion. Be deliberate in living out your faith. Be steadfast in celebrating the Spirit that works within you, and may peace be your way in the world. God bless you. We love you. Go in peace. Amen.
Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home, earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner. Come home, come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home, earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling.